Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Psalms, and it is the Psalm 91. The Psalm 91, and we want to read the 16 verses of this psalm. I well remember years ago when I was delivering the mail in the van, I used to listen once a week to Jan de Vries, the herbalist and the man who was into homeopathy, and controversial. I better not say too much about it, but that wee man had a cure for all ills. And no matter who rung in, he used to say, take two drops of this and one drop of that. And I used to think, that's that, that's brilliant. But I'll never forget one day listening to it, and a dear woman had contacted the program. She had lost her husband, and she was finding great difficulty sleeping. And I was waiting for two drops of this and three drops of that. And I'll never forget, he says, dear lady, he says, can I urge you every night, get on your knees before you go to bed and read Psalm 91. And it is a tremendous psalm, and we trust it'll be a blessing to our hearts today. Psalm 91 then, and the verse marked 1, and let's hear God's words. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And we know God has promised to bless his precious word, and we trust he will do that for Christ's sake. Well, if our Bible's open in Psalm 91, let us seek the Lord for his help now. Father, we know that what blesses the preaching of thy word is the Holy Spirit. And O God, I pray that thy blessed Spirit will bless thy word this morning. Help us all to put ourselves in the way of blessing, to put ourselves now under the means of grace, that something that we read and something that is said will be of great spiritual benefit to our souls and in our lives. I pray for that help, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. O God, bless me and make thy word and thy truth a blessing this morning. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. I'm told, and I hope I've got this right, that William Prince of Orange landed at Carrickfergus on the 14th of June, 1690. He then made his way to the Boyne, and as they say, the rest is history. Now that's the only reference you're going to hear this morning about King Billy. But thinking about Carrickfergus, I thought about the castle. It's a great landmark, it's a great castle, and I'm sure most here, if not all, have been to visit Carrickfergus Castle. You may not believe this, but I was locked inside Carrickfergus Castle one day. And strangely enough, three Australian women were with me. My sister, who lives in Perth, I have three sisters over there, and her two daughters. We decided to go up to Carrickfergus Castle that day, but it was Drumcree Week. And while we were going around the castle, and I was showing them this wonderful castle, they announced, the people that run the place announced, that barricades were going up all over the city and they were closing early. So I said, well, look, we better get home. And when we went to get out, they had locked the door. Thankfully, a wee man appeared with a key and we got out of Carrickfergus Castle that day. A castle is a fortress. And I want to draw your attention this morning to the words of Psalm 91 and the verse 2. This is our text for this morning. The psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And thinking about Carrickfergus Castle, and thinking about the fact that a castle is a fortress, I want to speak a little upon this truth. You know, the Lord in His Word, in His great wisdom and in His great grace and mercy, He has revealed Himself, and He reveals Himself to us under many metaphors and illustrations. The Lord, sometimes to His people, is a nursing mother. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord, sometimes to His people, is a father who is full of pity. But here in this Psalm, verse 2, the Lord is revealing Himself to us as a fortress, a castle. And that is a wonderful thing. There are times, dear believer, isn't it true, that we need to understand and we need to see that God is a fortress. A fortress. Now we all know about castles, I'm sure. We think about the great walls of a castle, and the bulwarks of a castle, and the ramparts of a castle. And we think about how a castle and a fortress is built for protection. It's built so that in a time of siege or in a time of trouble, people can hide behind its great battlements and ramparts. and they are safe. And so the Lord this morning, He's revealing Himself to us as our fortress. I want to just look at this under three simple headings this morning. First of all, consider the strategy of a fortress. As I said, a fortress is not an ordinary dwelling. A fortress is not an ordinary house. If you go to Carrickfergus, and if you've ever read up the history of Carrickfergus Castle, you know that the town is built there. But the castle stands out. It's a very imposing sight there on the shores of the loch. Think of the strategy of a fortress. A fortress is planned to be a fortress. Those who sit down and who plan this edifice, they do so with that in mind. They do so thinking that we're going to need high walls here. We're going to need great strength and battlements here. And if you go around Carrickfergus Castle, you can see that it was designed to be a fortress. You can think about the mind of those who planned it, the minds of those who built it, to be a fortress. You see, it's not an ordinary dwelling. It's not an ordinary home. It's a fortress. And dear brother and dear sister, this morning I want you to understand what the Lord is saying to us today under this metaphor. Look at it again in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Now please understand that the Lord is not saying that He has, as it were, made this fortress and He is here and the fortress is over there. No, our God is the fortress. And the fortress is our God. He says that in the text. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Think about God as your fortress this morning. When you are in trouble, when you feel besieged by the enemy, the spiritual enemy of our souls, when you feel exposed to temptations great or small, when you feel under the pressure perhaps of a period of difficulty, when you feel perhaps like running to some edifice of your own device or your own making, and you want to, as it were, pitch a little tent and hide there for a while until this time has passed by. No, listen, God is your fortress. Erect a tent beside Carrickfergus Castle and notice the difference between the two. Do you understand, do you know today that God is your fortress? You know, when you think about the mighty mind of God, when you think about all the plan of God in our salvation, when you think about God setting His love upon you and me from all eternity, devising this wonderful plan of salvation that His dear, blessed, only begotten Son would come from glory, would take to Himself human nature, as the man Christ Jesus would live on this earth, would die on the cross, would be buried, and would rise again from the dead, and would ascend back to glory, and would intercede for His people, and then at a time of God's choosing would return in great power and in great glory. And this is all God's plan. Is it any wonder Luther penned the words, "A mighty fortress is our God"? The strategy of it. You know, again, thinking of Carrickfergus Castle, and you walk around it and you look up, if you're close by the wall, and you look up and you see the grandeur of it, and the size of it, and the strength of it. Oh, know this, dear believer, that your God is a fortress for your soul. Are you in trouble today? Is there an aching heart in this house this morning? Is there a troubled believer? Is there a heart full of anxiety about something or about someone? Then I say to you this morning, you say, like the psalmist does, you say of the Lord, "He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust." Think about the devil. The devil has strategies. The devil seeks by this way and that way to undermine the faith of the people of God, to destroy our walk with the Lord. Oh, but the devil, looking at the fortress in which the dear believer is hiding, he can shout at it. He can go about it. He can even, in his foolishness, seek to go against it. But he's going against God. He's going against God. And that is a fight and a battle the devil will never win. A mighty fortress is our God. You know, when you think of the mind of God and the plan of God, as God reveals Himself to us as this fortress in which the believer can hide, then I'm reminded of those great words, Romans chapter 8. They're so familiar. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And things can only work out for good because God has a purpose. I remember a dear brother in the Lord. I used to get a cup of tea in his house. He was the last house on the run in Ballygowan at that time when I was delivering the mail. And I remember him saying to me, "Well," he says, "Stephen," he says, "it looks like the world is falling apart." But he says, "Really, it's only falling together according to the eternal purpose and plan of God." So it is. That passage goes on to say, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And he goes on to say, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And you think of these great doctrines, these great truths of the Lord. What a fortress we have in the Lord our God. The next time you're at a castle, the next time you're at Carrickfergus Castle, have a real good look at it. And remember, He is my castle. He is my fortress. The strategy of it. Think of the sight of it. As I said, a fortress, a castle, is very imposing. It stands out from all other buildings around about it. It is built for defense. It is built impregnable. It is built to withstand the armies and the assaults of the enemy. Do you see it this morning? Do you see your castle? Do you see the fortress? Do you see the stout walls? Do you see the battlements, the ramparts? But think about a dear soul inside. Think about a dear soul in a time of trouble. Yes, they are in behind the walls of this fortress. And they're in some little chamber within that castle. And you go around Carrickfergus Castle and there's a lot of chambers and little rooms. And think about someone in there and they're inside the fortress. They're safe and they're secure. And there's a storm raging and a battle raging outside. But they're inside, oh, but they're trembling. Maybe they're taken with fears, taken with anxieties, troubled in their thoughts. Will this fortress stand? Will these walls hold back the enemy? And maybe they're trembling. But listen, you and I, if we own God as our fortress by faith, you may tremble sometimes inside the fortress, but the fortress will not tremble around you. God is our fortress. God is our fortress. You see, the might and the strength of Almighty God is able to keep out that which would harm us. A commentator wrote these words and I thought it was tremendous. He says that the believer is surrounded by the arrangements of God. Surrounded by the arrangements of God. We read our Bibles and we learn that God has done this and God has done that. And God has planned this and God has planned that. We think of these arrangements of Almighty God and His great wisdom and power and strength. He is the Almighty Jehovah God. And I tell you, to be hiding in Him is to be safe. We might tremble. Do you know the first time I was ever on an aeroplane, I went to Australia. I mean, could you have picked a worse flight? It's so long. I'd never been on a plane all my life. And I remember up there, and I remember committing my soul to the Lord. You know, like a child, and this is some years ago, but like a child, I wrote in my diary the day I was due back in Belfast International Airport. I wrote on that day in my diary, remember to give God thanks. And I thank God He got me back to Ulster. Australia's a lovely place, but I was glad to get back to Northern Ireland. And you know, God revealing Himself here to us, He is our fortress. All fears come, they really do. And we tremble in our hearts. Remember the Lord Jesus, He said to His disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And there's a word, there's a gracious word from the Lord, perhaps even a mild rebuke. Don't you be worrying, Christian. Don't you be worrying, brother and sister. And yet we do, don't we? They say worry is a sin. Well, we're all sinners then. Oh, how little a thing at times can upset a child of God. But child of God, perhaps you feel yourself at times so small and so little, and you're up against something so large it seems to you. But God is your fortress. Walk about the fortress Consider the arrangements of God, the great doctrines of grace, the great truths of the Bible. Listen, someone else said this, God must cease to be before the evil one can take away thy life. It's God. God is our fortress. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Are you worried today, Christian, about something? Do you have concerns? You know, we all have concerns, perhaps, at times about the future of the church. We're living in times in this nation and in this land where so few care and so few even come to hear the gospel. But God is our fortress. Let us trust in Him. Let us commit our way unto Him. Let us learn to trust the Lord more wholly and more fully than we have up until now. You see what he says in verse 2? He says, I will say of the Lord. Do you ever sit down under some strain, under some stress? Your mind's in turmoil. And you're not thinking, your mind is jumping from this into that. And you're thinking ahead, and your mind is bringing up before you everything possible that's going to go wrong. Well, that's a time when you should say it to God, say it to yourself, say it to others. He is my refuge. And my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. The strategy of it, the sight of it, and then think about the stability of it. As I said, a castle, a fortress, is built to stand. That's the whole point of it. That's the whole plan of it. When I was a wee boy in school, I remember I had to. You remember the reading books, and I read the story about the little pigs that built a house of straw. Do you remember that one? And was it a wolf or a fox came, and he said, "I will huff and I will puff, and I will blow your house down." Well, if our house is made of straw, then that could well happen. But no, God has given us Himself to be our fortress. Think of the stability of it. It's immovable. You know, you could go to Carrickfergus Castle on a Monday, and the sky could be blue, not a cloud in the sky. The loch could be oh so calm. Everything is peaceful. Everything is well. You could go back on a Tuesday. The wind could be howling. The sky could be darkening. The waves could be boisterous. You know, it is so in life, isn't it? All around us changes. Change and decay, and all around I see. The sky can change. The sea can change. The seasons change. Things in our life change. And change, I have to admit myself that I don't like change. I'm a creature, I think, of habit. I still live in the same street I was born in. And I'm still living in the same house we moved into in 1968. And so, change comes and it can be upsetting and it can be troubling, especially great change, especially change which seems to threaten. And we think everything's going to change, but let me tell you something. God is unchangeable. All around the castle or the fortress may change, yes, but there stands the fortress, well established and unchanged. Oh, brother and sister, is there not a message for us here? Don't look at the changes going all around. Look to God. Look to God. Wasn't it Corrie ten Boom who said and wrote the words, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look to God, you'll be at rest." Oh, that we would learn that great lesson. God is unchangeable. A little thing can change how we feel. You can get up in the morning and feel up for the day, and then you hear something or you experience something, and you're, as someone prayed in the prayer meeting this morning, you can be down in the dumps. Well, so it is, and life is like that, even for us Christians. But is the Lord not telling us this morning, look, don't be looking at the changing sky. Don't be looking at how the wind can whip up the waves. Peter did that. Peter looked at the waves. Peter looked at the sea. And he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Don't look at these things that are always changing. But look to God. And say of the Lord, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." I'm sure that day King Billy stepped off the ship at Carrickfergus, he must have looked at the castle. Perhaps even he thought upon the things of the Lord that day as he went about his business. That day, at that time. Well, dear believer, God is our fortress. I want you to notice again the text. He says, "I will say of the Lord, He is a refuge, a fortress, a God." No. He says, "He is my refuge. My fortress, my God, in him will I trust." Are you trusting the Lord this morning? Is there one in our meeting and you have yet to come and receive Christ as your Savior? Well, I tell you, he is a refuge. He is a fortress from the great storm of God's wrath that abides upon every unconverted soul. And if you flee to him, if you run to him by faith, turn from your sin and receive Christ as your Savior, you will be placed into eternal security. And you will be saved, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Oh, this morning, the message comes to our hearts. And you know, read the rest of that psalm. It's a wonderful psalm. Because when we're able to say, "The Lord is our refuge and our fortress, our God, in him will I trust," then the psalm goes on to speak about deliverance, to speak about not being afraid, to speak about thousands may fall at our side and our right hand, but we'll be kept. Now there's a question as we end this morning. Why is it? If this all be so, and this is not the only place where the Lord reveals himself to us under the metaphor of a great fortress, a great castle, but why is it that sometimes, far too many times, we fail, we're afraid, we don't trust. Well, look at verse 1. You see, this psalm is speaking about those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. They shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, in the worship of God in the Old Testament, there was the outer court. There was the holy place. And there was the Holy of Holies. And is the Bible not telling us here, brother and sister, get close to God. Abide in the Lord. Every day. And let His words abide in you. And as you seek to dwell close to the Lord, then you will say, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. And it'll be a tonic to our souls, a blessing in our lives. May God bless these thoughts this morning to our hearts for His great name's sake.